الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Ladies and gentlemen, peace be upon you all, and welcome to another episode of Islam in Focus. I'm your host, Muhammad Hussein Hosni, and this is going to be our sixth episode in the series on prophethood in Islam. Our guest today is Dr. Jamal Badawi. Welcome, Dr. Jamal. Assalamu alaikum. Could you give us a quick sort of wrap up of what we talked about last time to link it to our topic today?
Okay. In the past five sessions, indeed, we were talking about various aspects of prophethood in Islam, the need for prophets, who is a prophet, what are the basic characteristics of the prophet, what is the basic mission of the prophet, the infallibility of the prophet, again, as a human being, still he should be a moral person who is a good example for his people, the number of prophets that were mentioned. And we concluded last time specifically with the finality of prophethood, that is, Prophet Muhammad being the last of all prophets and messengers of God, through whom the entire mission of prophethood was brought to final, most comprehensive and complete format.
Great. Now, today's topic is going to be mainly on Jesus the Messiah in the Quran, and to start off, I would like you to answer the very common question of what is the extent of coverage of Jesus' life in the Quran? In other terms, how many times was Jesus mentioned in the Quran?
Well, there's at least, it's probably the total number really, 11 chapters in the Quran where the name of Jesus or something about him and his birth and his life is mentioned. So it's nothing really that's extraneous or exterior to the belief of the Muslim. I'll give the number of chapters for the benefit of some of the audience who might wish to read it. Yeah, double check it on their own. For example, in the Quran, in chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 19, 21, 23, 43, 57, and 61. These are the number of chapters in the Quran where there is some mention somewhere about Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Okay. And as you know, the total number of chapters in the Quran is 114. So that's a substantial coverage that the Quran has on Jesus. In fact, I'll give example of three chapters, the titles even of three chapters, and show how much importance is given to the to this particular topic. One chapter in the Quran, that's chapter 19, takes its title from the name of the mother of Jesus. The title of the chapter is Maryam, Surat Maryam, or
which is Miriam,
chapter Mary. One chapter in the Quran, which is chapter 2, takes its title from the family of Mary. It's called Ali Imran, or the family of Imran, which is the family of Mary. There is another chapter in the Quran, which is chapter 5, which take its title from the Muslim version of the Last Supper. It's a different story, but it's called Al-Ma'idah, or
the table.
The table. So even three chapters, the titles of three chapters in the Quran are related to the, in some form or the other, to the story of Jesus, peace be upon him, as presented in the Quran.
How is he referred to in the Quran, by the way? What is the name that is used? Do they use Jesus in the Quran?
Yes, in some verses in the Quran, it uses the term Isa, in Arabic, which is equivalent to Jesus. In some places also it's used Al-Masih.
Messiah,
not literally as a name, but as a description. It could mean Messiah, but also it could mean Masih, means the anointed, from Masih.
Which is the exact Hebrew translation of the word Messiah, actually, from Mashiach.
And the anointing, they used to anoint great
with
people, and kings and so on, with oil. So that the word Masih also could be another title that's given to him.
great. Now, what about the background of Jesus? The conditions at the time of his birth and things like that. Does the Quran delve into that subject at all?
There is some brief discussion of that also, but basically the impression that you get is that at the time of the mission of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, it appears that the main problem with his people was extreme ritualism, kind of formalism, mm-hmm. and the materialism. Mm-hmm. That's corroborated also, as you know, in other references. For example, in the Bible, people refer to Jesus dismissing the money changers from the temple. Yeah, but the thing that's quite obvious is the fact that the mission of previous prophets, Israelite prophets, has been misinterpreted by many people to mean that you have to just stick to certain letters of the law, forgetting the spirit of the law itself. Just like the whole notion of an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth, rather than also at times the spirit of charity and forgiveness whenever it could be applied and could be more beneficial for all concerned. So it was important for his time, just like the case of many previous prophets in the past, mm-hmm. that God send them whenever there is some fundamental need of change, some fundamental deviation from the previous message or loss or change of the nature of previous message of the prophets. So his birth, in fact, the miraculous aspect of his birth is somewhat consistent with the kind of reminder that people needed at that time, that is the existence of the spiritual world.
Yeah. How about his descendancy, his lineage? Does the Quran talk about his ancestry?
Yes, it does. In fact, according to the Quran, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is regarded as one of the descendants of Abraham. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's amazing to notice that all the prophets, the famous prophets, I should say, who emerged in the Middle East, are all from the descendants of Prophet Abraham. Because the first son of Abraham, as you know, was Ishmael. And the only prophet that we know of that who came from the descendants of Ishmael is Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet.
That's right.
And then from the second son, Isaac, was the patriarch also in a sense that all other Israelite prophets actually were his descendants. In fact, I could refer you specifically to the chapter. In chapter 6, in verses 83 and 85, it's clearly implied there mm-hmm. that Jesus is of the descendants of Abraham. This is one thing. Mm-hmm. If you're asking more specifically about his last linkage in terms of his mother, we find that the Quran traces the story or lineage of Prophet Jesus to his grandmother, that is the mother of Mary. She's called in the Quran Imra'atu Imran, or the wife of Imran. Now, the story, briefly, before I cite it, I just summarize the main points so that mm-hmm. it would be easier to follow the exact citation from the mm-hmm. Quran. That it says that the wife of Imran got pregnant mm-hmm. and she vowed to God to devote the fruit of her womb to the service of God. Some interpret that as the service of the temple.
Yeah.
But when she gave birth, she found that she was a girl, that was Mary. At the beginning, she was a bit disappointed because according to the Mosaic law, a girl cannot serve in the temple. However, she accepted whatever God has blessed her with, and she prayed to God to bless her daughter Maryam and all her descendants. The Quran also says that later on Maryam, or Mary, was raised in the care of Zachariah, Prophet Zachariah, who was a relative within the same family. And he, as you know, was also the father of John the Baptist, called in the Quran Yahya, John the Baptist. Yeah. He was a relative. So she grew up under his supervision. He noted strange things about Mary. Whenever he entered her sanctuary, he found that she had lots of food. He asked her, "Mary, where did you get this food?" She said to him, or she answers, "God has provided me with that." He was very impressed with this very pious and pure girl mm-hmm. to the point that he started praying to God to give him a child as good also of his own, a pure child.
Mm-hmm.
It is important to notice here that at that time, Zachariah was very old, was very advanced in age. So was his wife. Not only this, his wife also was barren. And the Quran continues on telling that there was a miraculous birth, actually, of John the Baptist, Yahya. And in fact, the very birth, the miraculous birth of John the Baptist to a barren mother and very, very advanced in age parents, indeed was a kind of prelude to another greater miracle or greater miraculous birth that shortly was to take place, and that was the birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Maybe I'll just quote the ayah, yes, to give the just the flavor of it. That's in chapter 3, verses 33 through 37. Mm-hmm. It says, Allah, or God, has chosen for his message Adam and Noah and the family of Abraham and the family of Imran, in preference to all the people of the world. They all belong to the same chain and were the offsprings of one another. Mm-hmm. Allah knows everything and hears everything. When the wife of Imran was saying, My Lord, I vow to you what is in my womb for thy special service. So accept it, or accept this offering of mine, for you hears and knows everything. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, when she delivered her child, she said, Lord, I have delivered a girl. And Allah knew very well what she had delivered. And the male is not like the female, in a sense, of course, of service to the temple. As it is, I have named her Mary, and I implore your protection for her and for her future offsprings from the mischief of Satan the accursed. So her Lord very graciously accepted the girl and made her grow up as a good girl and entrusted her to the care of Zachariah. Mm-hmm. Whenever Zachariah entered the sanctuary to see her, he found some eatables with her. He would ask, O Mary, whence have these come to you? Mm-hmm. She would answer, It is from Allah, or God. Allah provides without stint for whom he wills. Thereupon, Zachariah invoked his Lord and said, O my Lord, grant unto me from you a progeny that is pure, for you are he that hears prayers.
Beautiful. Did Mary, according to the Quran, predict her predicament, so to speak? Did she know beforehand that she was going to be with child, and that the child is going to be Jesus, and his status in life is going to be that important and all that?
According to the Quran, she did have some notion, or at least a clear idea of the kind of miracle that's going to be taking place through her. According to the Quran, again, I put it very clearly, because that relates to further discussion, that the birth of Jesus, according to the Quran, is a virgin birth. Mm-hmm. There is no dispute, there is no ifs and buts about it. Mm-hmm. And that she gave birth to Jesus actually before she got married, as some believe, for example, to this Joseph, the carpenter. And this, as I said, was perhaps the most outstanding miracle of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, the way he was born. When we talk about this, we cannot really speculate much. Perhaps I can refer directly to the Quran. The summary of the verses I'm going to recite is that one time Mary took a place away, or took in seclusion away from her family. And when she was alone, there appeared to her the angel of God in the form of a human being. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, she was scared. Of course, a girl alone. Mm-hmm. She started imploring him not to get near her or touch her, if he really fears God. Then he started telling her that she should not fear. He's not there to hurt her or anything. Mm-hmm. He's simply coming to bring to her the news of the birth of a noble or pure child. Mm-hmm. This is basically the story as it goes. Maybe like we did last time, perhaps if I refer directly to the translation. This appears in chapter 19, the chapter again that takes the title Mary, especially verses 16 to 21. It says, "And relate, O Muhammad, in the book," that is the Quran, "the story of Mary, when she withdrew from her family to a place in the east. She placed a screen to screen herself from them. Then we sent to her our angel, and he appeared before her as a man in all respects." Of course, I may interject here that we mentioned before in a previous series that Angel Gabriel appeared to Prophet Muhammad in a form of a human being. So this was not unknown or unusual. Right. "She said, 'I seek refuge from you to God, most gracious. Come not near if you do fear God.' He said," that's the angel, "'Nay, I am only a messenger from thy Lord to announce to you the gift of a holy son," holy or pure. Actually, the original word Zakiyan means pure. "She said, 'How shall I have a son, seeing that no man has touched me and I am not unchaste?' He said, 'So it will be. Your Lord says, that is easy for me," that is easy for God, "'and we wish to appoint him as a sign unto men and a mercy from us. It is a matter so decreed.'" This is how the news of the future birth of Jesus were related to Mary.
Okay, the following question, the logical question in sequence would be, did she beget Jesus, if you will, or did she bring Jesus in the proper fashion, or in the normal fashion? Yeah. Was her childbearing and her delivery like everybody else's, or did she have any miracle in that respect as well?
Okay, to summarize again, and I'll give the citation in words also. As far as her pregnancy, there is no evidence in the Quran that it was not unusual. It was just like any woman's pregnancy. In fact, the Quran talks about her suffering the agony of birth, of childbirth, like any other woman would. But the Quran also adds that she was particularly distressed psychologically because she was very worried as to what her people will think of her, how she's going to explain to them this virgin birth. Nobody would believe her. She was afraid. The Quran also indicates that something miraculous also happened immediately after Jesus was born, that when she was suffering from that stress and pain, he assured her and told her what to do when people ask her these types of questions. And even the Quran shows later on that as a baby, as an infant even in her arms, he started responding and defending his mother against the kind of accusation that were made. The reference to this summary that I gave is in, again, the 19 verses 22 through 26. Maybe I can read the translation. "So she," that is Mary, conceived Jesus, "and she retired with him to a remote place. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She cried in her anguish, 'Ah, would that I had died before this. Would that I had been a thing forgotten and out of sight.' But a voice cried to her from beneath the palm tree." By the way, that voice is interpreted in some versions as a voice of an angel, but another very legitimate interpretation that this was also the voice underneath her, that's the voice of Jesus himself. "He cried unto her, 'Grieve not, for your Lord has provided a rivulet beneath you. And shake towards yourself the trunk of the palm tree. It will let fall fresh ripe dates upon you. So eat and drink and cool your eyes. And if you do see any man, say, I have vowed a fast to God, most gracious, and this day I will enter in no talk with any human being.'"
Beautiful. Okay, does the Quran continue by talking about the reaction of her people?
It does. In fact, the following verses from 27 to 40 on the same chapter 19, covers the kind of reaction of people that they had, the kind of condemnation they made against Mary. Perhaps I could continue, give the same indication. At length, she brought the babe to her people, carrying him in her arm. They said, "O Mary, truly an amazing thing has you brought. O sister of Aaron," and by the way, sister of Salimin, that she was a sister, blood sister, because all believers are regarded...
This is a very common misconception exactly. among Western writers, by right. the way. They say that the Quran confuses her with the sister of Moses, who was called
brother
Mary.
Brother of Moses, Aaron, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right, yeah. Or the sister of...
The sister exactly. of Moses, because she was the,
exactly.
the sister of...
Exactly. Like the Quran, believers are but one brotherhood. So right. all believers, and also some commentators... in a sense of similar to him in worship and devotion to God.
Right.
So whichever meaning, it's still very consistent. O sister of Aaron, your father was not a man of evil, nor your mother a woman unchaste. But she pointed to the babe, Jesus. They said, "How can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle?" He said, that's Jesus, "I am indeed a servant of God. He has given me revelation and made me a prophet, and he has made me blessed wheresoever I be, and has enjoined on me prayer and charity as long as I live. He has made me kind to my mother, not overbearing or miserable. So peace is on me," that's on Jesus, "the day I was born, the day that I die, and the day that I shall be raised up to life again." Such was Jesus, the son of Mary. It is a statement of truth about which they vainly dispute. It is not befitting to the majesty of God that he should beget a son. Glory be to him. When he determines a matter, he only says to it, "Be," and it is. Verily, God is my Lord and your Lord. That's the word of Jesus telling his people, my God and your God. Verily, God is my Lord and your Lord. Him, therefore, serve you. This is a way that is straight. But the sects differ among themselves. And woe to the unbelievers because of the coming judgment on a momentous day. How plainly will they see and hear the day that they will appear before us, that is, before God.
Mm-hmm.
But the unjust today are in error manifest. But warn them, that is, warn them, O Muhammad, of the day of distress when the matter will be determined. For behold, they are negligent and they do not believe. It is we, that is God, who will inherit the earth and all beings thereon. To us, that is to God, will they all be returned.
Beautiful. Now we come to the ultimate rhetorical question raised by a lot of people, and that is, if the Quran says it so beautifully that Jesus had only a mother and did not have a father, and if the Quran attests and confesses to the fact of his miraculous birth,
Virgin
who was his father?
Okay, you can respond back by asking, who's Eve's father, the first woman?
Right.
Who's Adam's father?
Right.
If, because a person does not have a physical human father, that this imply that he is divine or he is God, then Eve must have been God, Adam must have been God, because they don't have a known father.
Right.
See? The Quran answered this question in one verse, not directly, not because somebody asked it, but the answer could be derived easily in chapter 3, verse 59. I think we mentioned that verse before in the context of discussing the concept of monotheism in Islam. It says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمٍ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Translation? The similitude of Jesus before God or before Allah is like that, or as that of Adam. He created him from dust, then he said to him, "Be," and he was. The truth comes from your God or from God alone, so be not of those who doubt. So according to this verse then, it simply says that God, who was able to create Adam without a father or mother, to create Eve from a man's side but not from a woman's side, is able to create Jesus as well also without necessarily having a physical father. Indeed, we should remember that it is not only the creation or birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, that's miraculous. It's unusual, but it is just as miraculous as the birth of any human being. If you really study how the various genetic characteristics are passed on from parents to children, that is a miracle itself. Also,
that's right.
All we can say that it is both miraculous and unusual in the case of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Mm-hmm. The point here to remember is that we should not imply in any shape or form that God, our Creator, is bound to follow the same laws or the same thing that we consider as laws in nature. Because God Himself created the nature. He created these laws that we
and
think,
He can break them whenever
and
He wishes.
Can break them whenever He wishes. Of course, this may not necessarily be the pattern. There is some most of the time there is harmony between, you know, what we perceive as natural laws and the will of God. But at times He should have the discretion and the power
prerogative
whenever He wants to give us some certain signs, something that's different or unusual for a certain purpose, that He's definitely able to do that. We cannot limit the power of God. Maybe one point should be added here, and I could do that best perhaps by quoting the verse from the Quran and just make a comment on that. In the same chapter, chapter 3, verses 45 through 49, it says, "And remember when the angel said, O Mary, Allah, it's God, sends you the good news of a command of His. His name shall be Al-Masih, which is translated as Anointed or Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. Mm-hmm. He will be highly honored in this world and in the next world, and he will be among those favored by Allah. He will speak to the people alike when in the cradle, like the previous verse indicated, and when when grown up. And he will be among the righteous. Hearing this, Mary said, How, O Lord, shall I have a son when no man has ever touched me? Thus shall it be, was the answer. Allah creates whatever he wills. Notice here, Allah creates whatever he wills. That was the response to her wondering, how could she get a baby in this way? When he decrees a thing, that's when God decrees a thing, he only says, be. And it is. You don't need even a mother or father. He says you need the word be. The will of God creates everything. And Allah will teach him the book and the wisdom and give him the knowledge of the Torah and the gospel and appoint him as a messenger to the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. The comment I wanted to make here, that it's obvious from that the will of God does not need this human intermediary pregnancy. If he decides something, he can just simply order that a child will be born from a virgin. He can do that. Mm-hmm. But there is some beautiful thought also that Egyptian scholar has commented on, and he said that if you look into the various unusual methods of creation that God has made, mm-hmm. you find that the creation of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, completes the picture. Yeah. In what sense? There was a type of creation of people or humans without a father or mother. That was the case of Adam. Yeah. And then there was the case of creating a human being from a man's side, but not from a woman's side. And that's obviously Eve. She came from a man, but not a mother. And then there is the average or normal creation of a human being, both from a mother and a father. And that's every one of us.
That's right.
I don't know of anybody who deviates from that, at least contemporary. And then the fourth, the different thing is the creation of a human being from a mother, from a woman's side, but not from
a
father's side. So that completes beautifully the various signs of God, the various miracles of God. All are equally important, all are equally stunning miracles. Creating from no father or mother, from mother, from a father, from both mother and father are all various signs of the omnipotence and power.
Each and every one of them is miraculous in its own way.
Exactly.
And
its own
the
light.
Birth of Jesus is just the completeness or the finality of the miracle in its final shape.
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Jamal, unfortunately we don't have enough time, but on this beautiful thought, we close our program today. And we hope, ladies and gentlemen, that you've enjoyed this episode and that you will join us next time when we will continue on the same topic. And till then, this is Muhammad Hosni, your host, bidding you farewell. Assalamu alaikum.
لا إله إلا إِلَّا 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 إ